Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:19-20. In Mark 16:15-16, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Our text mentions the subject that we're going to have under consideration for the next several lessons. Baptism is one of the prominent topics of the New Testament. In fact, if I have counted correctly, there are nearly 100 different times that baptize or baptism or baptizing or something like that is mentioned in the New Testament. Now, we understand that everything that is called Christian today is certainly not Christian, not in the biblical use of the term. But still, 95% of those who still call themselves Christians practice something or another that they call baptism, and they do it for some reason or another. Now, they don't all do the same thing, and they certainly don't all do it for the same reason. But this speaks of the prominence of the topic. God only has to say a thing one time for it to attract our attention. We should be interested in what the Lord has to say on any subject. Now, let me mention here as we pass along, never, ever in Scripture does the Bible teach that baptism is to join a denomination. Now, I know, and you may know, that there are clergymen that teach that you can be saved by faith only, but to be a member of their denomination, you've got to be baptized. They make it more difficult to be in their denomination than they do to get to heaven. I never did understand the reasoning behind such false doctrine as that. But you never do read of anybody being baptized to join a denomination. Of course, no denomination in New Testament times existed. But unfortunately, and it is so unfortunate, there are fewer subjects over which there has been so much controversy and religious division. For instance, people talk about what they call the mode of baptism, and by that they mean either sprinkling or pouring or immersion. Now, when you turn to a modern English Day dictionary, you will find baptism defined by sprinkling or pouring or immersion. But friend, you've got to realize the New Testament was not written in English language. It was written in the Greek language. And the Greek language makes it plain that baptism is a burial. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, we're buried with him in baptism. In Romans 6:3-4, we're buried with him by baptism. Now, the Greek word, baptizo, it means to submerge. It means to plunge beneath. Only immersion is New Testament baptism. Now, we ought to do what the Apostle Peter has admonished. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now, if God has said baptizo, we need to know what that word means, and we know it means immersion, and this talk about the different modes of baptism, that's just false denominational lingo. Now, there's division also over what some call triune baptism. Now, the Bible teaches that there is one baptism, but some practice this by they immerse, but they immerse once in the name of the Father and once in the name of the Son and then a third time in the name of the Holy Ghost. Well, we all can count, and we know that that's three baptisms, But Ephesians 4 and verse 5 gives us an answer to that. Paul says there's one baptism. There is one baptism. And friend, that settles it for those who respect the Bible. You see, triune baptism, that's not Bible baptism. That's man's doctrine. But you know there's division over whether baptism is to be in water or is it to be a Holy Spirit baptism. And there are some who claim water baptism and Holy Spirit baptism. Well, of course, the Bible teaches the baptism of the Holy Spirit was promised to the apostles, and the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles on the first Pentecost after the resurrection and ascension of Christ. It was never promised to anybody. It was never commanded of anybody. And Ephesians 4 and verse 5 says there's one baptism. There is. That's present tense. The baptism that was being preached and practiced at the time the Apostle Paul said there's one baptism, that was a water baptism. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian said, "See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" The Apostle Peter told the household of Cornelius, "Can any man forbid water that these should be baptized as well as we?" Acts chapter 10. Now, Holy Spirit baptism was never commanded, and it was administered by Christ. Water baptism was administered by men. The baptism Jesus mentioned in Matthew 28 and in Mark chapter 16 is commanded and is administered by men, and that's not Holy Spirit baptism. Some have even created controversy over who is to do the baptizing. You see, denominations have made laws that only those they have ordained by them can baptize. I ask, where do we read anything like that in Scripture? You see, what matters is not who is the immerser, but what about the person being immersed? But there is division over who is to be baptized. Now, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, after Philip had preached the gospel to the Samaritans, those that were baptized were men and women. There were no children mentioned. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. They were people that were taught. There is division over who is to be baptized, but there is no biblical authority whatsoever to practice something or another that's called infant baptism. The Bible teaches that the proper subject for baptism is one who understands the gospel plan, is able to believe because they've heard the word, they are able to repent, and they are able to confess their faith in Christ. This, of course, infants cannot do. And to baptize infants and practice something you call infant baptism, that's totally foreign to the Scripture. But some even quibble over where baptism must take place, whether in a river or in a pool or a baptistry or a bucket or whatever. It doesn't matter at all. What does matter is whether there's sufficient water to immerse that person. And it doesn't matter whether it's in the daytime or the nighttime. You see, friend, what I'm driving at is all of this confusion, all of this division, all of this controversy. It's so unnecessary. It would not exist except that men have come along and substituted for what God has revealed. They've added to it, they've taken from it, and therefore they have demanded others to conform to their denominational laws and creeds and rituals and traditions. But God has spoken, and that settles it to those that respect and love God. It's not that we cannot see the Bible alike. There are just too many who are not looking at it at all. They're following their clergymen. They're following their parents. Why must one be baptized? That's going to be the theme of our study in these next two or three lessons. We want to present five biblical reasons why everyone must be baptized. And we must know what we are doing when we're baptized. Because, friend, we are to obey from the heart, Romans chapter 6, 16 through 18, and is the heart that is the seat of our understanding. It requires that we understand why we are being immersed, and going through the right form, that's well and good, but without comprehension and for the wrong reason, that's not obedience to the command of God. We should be baptized because Christ has made it a condition of salvation. Now, that might sound oversimplified, but is this reason enough for you to be willing to be baptized? We're dealing here with our willingness to obey the Lord. Now, there's more to know than the fact that Jesus has made it a condition of salvation. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." I know that there be some clergymen that come along and say, "He that believeth is saved and is baptized to show it." But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus made it a condition of salvation. You know, when the Apostle Peter went to the house of Cornelius, he commanded those people to be baptized in water, Acts 10, 47 and 48. You do one thing with a command, you either obey it or you disobey it. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," John 14, 15. It's just not reasonable, friend, to contend that you love the Lord and you won't obey his command. Hebrews 5, 9 teaches that Christ became the author of salvation to them that obey him. It's unreasonable to say that you're going to be saved anyway. Jesus said, "You're my friends if you do that which I command you," John 15, 14. It's unreasonable to claim friendship with Christ if you refuse to obey his command. Didn't Jesus say, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Well, you might ask, why did he command it? Now, that's a reasonable question. But suppose we never learn anything more than what we've already learned. Is this enough for us to be willing to be baptized? If not, then something is terribly wrong with our submissiveness to Christ. Now, there's more to be learned, and we're going to learn more. But John wrote, "For this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments." Each one needs to ask himself, am I willing to do what the Lord has commanded me to be done? And if I'm not willing, then I've got a real problem in my submission to the Son of God. Now, if you are convinced that you must obey the Lord, then we need to see the Lord's reasons for people to be baptized. And we can do that if we will stay with the Scripture. And here's our problem. People are looking to their creeds, their manuals, their catechisms, their clergymen, their disciplines, all of these things that have come from the doctrines of men rather than what the Lord has said to find an answer to these questions. We simply contend that the Scripture is all sufficient. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And why should we turn to something else? Why should we turn to the doctrines of men to try to find out what the Lord wants and what the Lord has commanded? As I said earlier, Peter says, "Speak as the oracles of God." That ought to be sufficient to people that love the Lord. That ought to be sufficient to people that have respect for Scripture. And we're going to study in our next lessons, why the Lord has commanded people to be baptized, and we're going to confine ourselves to what the Lord has revealed, and those that want to follow the ways of men, they do so to the endangerment of their own spiritual salvation. We appreciate you listening to these studies. We ask you to search the Scriptures whether or not they are so. Until next time, this is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.